Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, heck yeah.
All right, the boys will be back next week. You got Bonta Hill and Evan Giddings in here with you to begin 2026. Niners trying to get off, I would just say, the same note they left 2025 on, which is they just keep on winning.
Yes.
I mean, Brock Purdy comes back, 7-1 as the start of this year. And it's almost like, I don't know, when was the last time you thought about the two words turf toe, Bonta?
Yeah, that's a thing of the past, right?
Yeah,
I
mean, just...
Well, I thought you were going to go Mac Jones.
Oh, well, the two are connected. That's a good point. I haven't thought about him. You know, I was watching on the sidelines, like, you know, you're up there in the press box, you got binoculars,
right.
And I was scanning because Ricky Pearsall came off the field for mm-hmm. a play, got hurt, eventually came back against the Bears on Sunday night, and I noticed number 10. And I'm thinking, dude, I have not thought about that guy in weeks.
Exactly.
He's just out there getting his throws in, getting his work in.
Doing the Dougie.
Staying warm. Yeah.
Doing the Dougie. You know, no, we haven't heard Brock's moving around so well. So well. And I hope Niner fans, look, I talk to the boys in the morning about this all the time, Joe Spinotti and Joe Shasky. We always talk about loyalty in sports. Where's the loyalty from players? Well, I ask and I shoot back and say, where's the loyalty from fans? Especially when it comes to trusted agents like a Brock Purdy, like a George Kittle. Like a Christian McCaffrey, who, by the way, we haven't got into. Christian McCaffrey has had some big-time games against Seattle. He's owned this rivalry. And I ran into a highlight clip of him destroying Iowa in the Rose Bowl when he was at Stanford. But Brock Purdy has helped this team and this organization win some huge games. Tom Brady, Tampa Bay, first ever start, lit him up. Up in Seattle with the broken rib to win a division title, a hat and t-shirt game. You know, beating the Raiders in overtime. By the time he got to Philadelphia, I was completely confident the Niners were going to win in Philly because of the quarterback, because he came back against Seattle in a wild card game, because he led a game-winning drive against the Dallas Cowboys. This guy has won game after game after game. And so it was kind of ironic how quickly people flipped on Brock for Mac Jones. And Mac Jones played great, Evan. Mac Jones played the best football of his career. There's no doubt about it. But you could see the limitations to where you need to extend plays at critical times, critical junctures. Tampa Bay got into trouble, right? Couldn't get out that pocket, you know, against the Rams. So back here at Levi Stadium, he played great, but you saw the limitations where Brock Purdy can extend plays like he did last Sunday against Chicago and make magic happen. So Brock Purdy's playing excellent football. And, yeah, so turf toe and Mac Jones. I haven't heard those things for a while.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The two words.
Two more words. Hot seat Kyle Shanahan.
I
haven't
like
heard that either.
No, that, all year that has been on the back burner.
And, possibly.
I mean, you know, of course, if we're Niners fans, if something goes wrong, maybe we'll hear it again. But I feel like the fact that we've gone 6 months without that, that's a good sign. All right, let's get out to Redwood City. I promised Austin we'd get to his call. Sorry you had to hang on there for a sec, Austin. But I know you're feeling yourself about this game. What's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Happy New Year to y'all, man.
Happy New Year, Austin. Happy New Year, man.
Hey, right on. I want to say this, man. First, I want to give my congrats to Kyle Shanahan from going through adversity and not folding the season, not just throwing the season away and fighting, showing what type of head coach and offensive coordinator that you are, one of the top in the NFL. And by a long shot, the coach of the year. By a long shot. And then not only that, I want to tap in with Brock Purdy. With this win, lose or draw, do y'all consider Brock Purdy the third best quarterback in 49ers history, surpassing Jeff Garcia, Alex Smith with his 11 different offensive coordinators, and Kaepernick, and you know, Bonta, Jimmy G, my guy. Jimmy G as the third best quarterback in 49ers NFL history, win, lose, or draw with this game.
I don't want to disrespect the OGs and not bring up Frankie Albert and Y.A. Tittle, John Brody. But look, if Brock Purdy does some magical things in the postseason and helps his team win a Super Bowl for the first time since the 94 season, and yeah, he could catapult himself into top three territory with the 49ers. But the fact that he's playing that well, I think people have forgotten about Jimmy Garoppolo and the success he had. Well, Brock Purdy's taking this offense to another level. There's no doubt about that. Colin Kaepernick won some big – people forget he won some huge road games. Evan, road games in the playoffs. 0-degree weather, Lambeau Field against Green Bay, going to Carolina, beating Superman Cam Newton and the Panthers, and was a throw away from beating the Legion of Boom in Seattle in that monumental NFC Championship game, one of the best games I've ever watched as a fan. An absolute body bag game where Navarro Bowman's getting carried off on a stretcher. Mike Iupati was never the same after that football game. Guys are getting lit up left and right. Cam Chancellor, Vernon Davis, you name it. But Brock Purdy's played some excellent football for this team since he's been inserted as a starting quarterback. But a little early to say he's the third best quarterback in franchise history.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not the guy to ask about rankings and all that. But what I will say is in regards to Jimmy Garoppolo, what I think that Brock Purdy has done, and he's obviously better than him, but I think the biggest compliment that I could pay him is, especially these last few weeks where you're seeing what he can do with his legs, the improvisation, yep, the extending of plays. Brock Purdy hasn't quite wholly separated himself from the head coach, but he's done it far more than Jimmy ever had. You couldn't say Jimmy Garoppolo without saying Kyle Shanahan.
Right.
I think the biggest compliment that I could pay Brock Purdy is I can say Brock Purdy,
wow,
without Kyle Shanahan.
Wow.
Just because of the things that he can... That play he made on Sunday Night Football against the Bears, where he made two defensive linemen miss, you know, no look in the corner to Juszczyk. I was sitting in the press box pulling my hair out. I'm just thinking, there are maybe three, four people on planet Earth that make that play. And before I saw that, I would have never thought Brock Purdy could have done that. I'm sorry, but Twinkle Toes was on full display. That was unbelievable.
That is such an excellent point, Evan. You can say Brock Purdy without saying Kyle Shanahan. Now, there's a point in time where you couldn't do that, right?
100%.
But for me, that went away in 2023. Because, yeah, everybody said, oh, he has the Avengers. He has Kittle. He has Debo. He has Ayuk. Well, you look at all those players. McCaffrey. Did they have – those are their best years ever. And it came with Brock Purdy. Brandon Ayuk may never have a season like that ever again. Debo Samuel, now he had the 2021 season.
Mm-hmm.
That was his peak.
Yep.
But 2023 went bad. He had over 1,000 scrimmage yards. Christian McCaffrey doing what he did that season. George Kittle doing what he did that season. That all came with Brock Purdy. Because this offense went from averaging about 24, 25 points a game, leaning on a defense to, wow, this offense is scoring 30. What are you going to do about it, Seattle? What are you going to do about it, L.A.? What are you going to do about it, Philadelphia? So Brock Purdy, which is why he got the contract. The organization told you how they felt about Brock Purdy because they paid him. They paid him to be the franchise quarterback and say, you know what? We believe in you. Even after a difficult 2024, we believe you can still play at a high level and help us win a Super Bowl. So that's a great point, Evan, that you talk about Brock Purdy without saying the name Kyle Shanahan.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, always live in the free Odyssey app and now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. And I think it's been a recent development for me just because you did see what Mac Jones did with this offense without a lot of his guys, especially the Rams game on Thursday night, no Kittle, no Juwan.
Yep.
And Christian McCaffrey is still here and has been throughout the entire season. But the thing about it is Mac Jones, I think there was one game, and it was against the Giants, where they scored 30 or more. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it was 26, it was capped. Yep. With Brock Purdy, they're averaging 36 points a game. I mean, it's a joke. Like, it's not even close. They're averaging damn near 10 more points per game with this guy under center than they are with the backup quarterback, who did a very fine job.
Yep.
But that is a completely different ballpark that Brock Purdy is operating in right now.
A completely different offense. Completely different offense. Look at the run game being unlocked now with Brock Purdy under center. Now, a lot of credit goes to the offensive line. Some of the run scheme changes. You see a lot of less zone. They're going power, running right at you. But that's a great point where Brock, and I was noticing that too with Mac Jones, as well as he was playing, 23, 26. And you know what was crazy to me, Evan? Mac Jones' game at SoFi Stadium. It was excellent. Awesome win. Being at SoFi Stadium, I was charged up. I didn't go to bed until 1 in the morning. But Brock Purdy had the same type of performance in 2024. The difference was Eddie Pinheiro made his field goal. Jake Moody didn't in 2024.
Ronnie Bell on line one.
Ronnie Bell dropped the pass. Kendrick Bourne didn't drop passes. You know what I'm saying? Brock Purdy had that same game without Debo Samuel, George Kittle, Christian McCaffrey, but he didn't get the credit for it because they didn't win the football game. Special teams let them down. Well, special teams didn't let them down against the LA Rams that night in SoFi Stadium. So he's shown us glimpses of doing it without some of his star players. So there's no doubt in my mind Brock Purdy's playing some excellent football right now, and he's got experience. That's the other thing. Going into the playoffs, will Seattle feel as confident going into the playoffs with Sam Darnold as the Niners fans will feel with Brock Purdy?
I wouldn't.
Right? Tampa Bay, Carolina. What if Carolina wins and Bryce Young's going into the playoffs for the first time? You know what I'm saying? You look at the NFC North. Caleb. I like Caleb a lot. I thought Caleb played excellent football on Sunday. But he's never been in the postseason, Evan. He's never played at this level. Hell, how many – did he even make a big-time bowl game in college?
I think – well, no, because he never played in one. Yeah.
No, they played in the Vegas Bowl, I think, against Utah.
Was that
no,
the
was that – that was the Pac-12 championship, right?
Yeah, the one where they got dogged by Utah.
Dogged.
Yeah, so it's – no, you're right. They're, like, Brock Purdy's been in big games before, and that's something, too, that about this team gets a little lost. And I think it has to do with what we were talking about with resetting expectations, but – there's a lot of guys on this team that have played in a lot of big games.
Yep.
Kittle, Williams, McCaffrey, Jennings, Brock, Kyle. Like, there's been dudes, and I realize not all of them reside on defense outside right. of Demo, but there's a lot of guys on this team that got big game experience, and why I think, again, to kind of bring it back to tomorrow, like, I can't wait to watch this game, because you're absolutely right. I think one of the biggest reasons why I feel like the Niners have as good of a chance as any is what they're doing is great, but also I've seen Sam Darnold in some of those moments. Yep. Last year in the playoffs, before then. And to yep. your point, it's like, who do I trust more? The clear answer is Brock Purdy.
Right. Week 17 last year, Minnesota, they were in the same game. Darnold was in the same exact game last season.
Yeah.
Against the Detroit Lions at Ford Field. They scored 9 points. Then they went to Glendale, Arizona against the Rams in a wild card round, and they were done by the second quarter. Now, maybe he's learned from that. Maybe he's gained that valuable experience, because you do have to go through the fire at times. But Brock Purdy's been there, done that before. And he's been in these moments, and they're at home. Like, that's the other thing. Kyle Shanahan in December, in January, they went at home. Without even knowing the record, they win their home games.
Yeah.
They win, because the faithful shows up and shows out, especially in the night game. So, I feel really good. And then it's Kyle Shanahan in these big game experiences. I don't think we're talking enough about Shanahan, Evan, about him being in these big games and learning from 2019, learning from 2021, learning from 2022 and 2023 in the Super Bowl when they lost to Kansas City. Shanahan has a lot of big game experience where McDonald hasn't been here yet.
Nope.
Hasn't been here yet.
He's been there as a coordinator, but he has not been there as a head coach. And that's something, too. It's like – It's fair and unfair. I see both sides of it, but the whole Kyle and big game stuff, in the biggest game, yes, you've seen some moments where he absolutely turtles up, and you got the cupcake Kyle moniker and all that stuff. I get it, but he's also won the big games to put his team in that position, and yep. I think it's a little unfair that we just paint this broad brush of yep. Kyle Shanahan can't get it done, because more often than not, these games, the week 17s, the week 18s, the divisions, the championship games, he's won most of them.
At SoFi to get into the playoffs in 2021.
Down 17.
Down 17. Seattle, 2019. When that place was a house of – that was the first win for the 49ers in Seattle since 2011 when Alex Smith went up there on Christmas Eve with Jim Harbaugh. He broke that curse.
That's
right?
Wild.
You know what I'm saying? He's won. You put the feather in his cap. You know, with these big-time wins on the road. But now he gets his game at home, Evan, and I think that's going to be huge for the 49ers. Not having to travel, being able to rest up, short week. And who knows, maybe we'll get an injury report, and maybe, just maybe, Trent Williams will play with that hamstring injury. I know he's listed as questionable. I have a hard time believing he's going to play. But the fact that he's questionable, long-term, that means that's good news for Trent Williams.
Yeah, Trent, Kittle, I mean, pretty much all their impact guys right now, questionable as far as practice goes. But hopefully they're going to be out there tomorrow night, Saturday, Levi's Stadium, battle for the one seed, can't San wait. Francisco and Seattle. 888-957-9570 is the number. Bonte Hill, Evan Giddings with you here on Steiny and Guru. Theo is in the East Bay. What's up, my man? What's going on? How you feeling about tomorrow night?
Yeah, feeling good, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Bonte, what's up, baby?
What's up, Theo?
Yeah, but you guys are talking about Kyle Shanahan, and to me, man, if he gets this win tomorrow at home, I think it's the best job that he's done in his career for the 49ers. The conference championship games that he's won, the Super Bowls that he's been to, I think the job that he's doing this year is better than all those years, because the best teams in the NFC are in the NFC West. And we got that big game tomorrow. I think he gets it done with Brock Purdy. We here on the West Coast already know who Brock Purdy is without Kyle Shanahan. Evan, you were just talking about it. But the rest of the world, they're going to find out who Brock Purdy is. Also, too, this defense, man, they're going to have to step up. And I think Robert Saleh does a good job of just containing Sam Darnold. And the game tomorrow for the 49ers is going to be one with the players on the field, but with the coaches that we got. Cheers, boys.
Thank you, Theo. Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people are there already, B, with Shanahan, this being his best job. Let me just put it to you like this. In 2023, which is the best team that I've seen, just on paper, mm-hmm. offense was unbelievable. Felt like they scored every single time they got the ball. Defense was bend but don't break, but had dudes all over the place. If they win on Sunday, they will have more regular season wins than that team. They went 12-5 that year.
Yeah.
And I know that Sam Darnold started week 18 because it didn't matter, but this team will be 13-4 if they win.
Unbelievable.
That to me, I didn't have that on the bingo card.
No, and everybody talked about the schedule, right? The soft schedule coming into the season. And I thought, I don't think people took into account that Jacksonville would be better. I didn't think Jacksonville was going to be this good.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, but I thought they would be better than last season. There's a lot of talent on that football team. I thought Houston would be better, and I always thought that would be a tricky spot going to Houston and New York back-to-back weeks. And Houston, as we've learned, has the best defense in the league, and they're a problem in the AFC. If they could just do something on offense and protect C.J. Stroud, they've got a legit shot at winning a Super Bowl because of that defense. So you play the AFC South, right? And yeah, sure, Tennessee stinks, and you got to face Phillip Rivers late in the season with the Colts as they broke down. But there's so much parity in the league. There's so much parity in the league. On a week-to-week basis, we'll see Green Bay lose to Cleveland. Niners go to Cleveland and undress the Browns, right?
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia lose it to the New York Giants. Well, the Niners beat the New York Giants handily. Philly lost them, and I know it's a division game, but that's how wacky this league has been this season. The Buffalo Bills have lost games this year. We're like, what? How did they lose to Atlanta on Monday Night Football? You know what I'm saying? They lost a game last week by allowing 17 yards in the second half, and it's still lost. So the whole soft schedule thing, it is what it is in the NFL because there's never been this much parity before in this league. So the Niners took advantage of some breaks, no doubt about it. But you can't talk about the soft schedule when you look at the Niners roster and all the guys that have been out. Again, who we had? Austin, who said, I can't believe Shanahan's kept his team together. Think about that, Evan. They could have melted in and said, you know what? We just don't got the bodies. We're done. We saw that in 2020,
yep,
during the pandemic season. We saw that last year in 2024 where guys were in and out the lineup and they just folded. They didn't fold this year despite having the litany of injuries that they've had this season. So 13-4, this is probably Shanahan's most impressive coaching job of his tenure. And that's crazy thinking about 2023 and 2019.
And to your point, too, the reason why they're in this game against Seattle is because they haven't had any duds.
Nope.
They just haven't. I mean, you mentioned Buffalo against Atlanta. Rams just lost to Atlanta.
Yep.
In a game that didn't matter for them. Like, the Falcons are done. They lost to Kirk Cousins in a game that they didn't even have to play in.
Yep.
And the Rams are trying to, they had still a legit shot to potentially get the one, and like, they couldn't show up. They're down 21-0 in that game. Seattle, they haven't had any duds either. And that's why they're in this game. Their schedule has been a little more impressive. They beat Jacksonville in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. They got the home win against Houston. They've beaten some better teams than the Niners have. But they also haven't had any slip-ups. They took care of business against New Orleans, Arizona twice, Tennessee, Atlanta, Indy, when they obviously didn't have their best foot forward. So it's like both teams are in this position because they deserve to be. And I think that's one thing that we get a little bogged down in. Because we're in the Bay Area, because we know everything about this team, and we know all those storylines, that we don't always have a chance to step outside the bubble and give them their credit. Where Austin is talking about, I think he's absolutely right. Even if they don't win this game, I think it's going to be a good game, and the whole country will finally give the Niners their flowers because even if they lose to Seattle, there's going to be a lot of people next week, wild card week, and saying, yeah, you don't want San Francisco coming into your house.
Well, think about it. Have they already impressed the nation?
They should.
I mean, they just played on Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. Everybody's watching. Bears have a big market. That is a big market in Chicago, and Bear fans run deep. There were a lot of them at Levi Stadium. The nation watched Sunday Night Football between the Niners and the Bears. And they watched Monday night between the Niners and the Colts. And when I look at TweetDeck and I'm looking at my buddies from all around the country, they're saying, damn, the Niners are dangerous. I'm seeing that a lot. So they've already put this league and they put the nation on notice on how good they can be. So whether they win or lose tomorrow, I still think to your point, Evan, that people will say, boy, Niners are going to be a tough out. Don't really want to give Shanahan a week to game plan for you. Don't really want no problems. You know?
Exactly. Shout out to our guy, Hella Frankie, in the YouTube chat, donating $2 to say, Evan and the King on together. Def Dub City tomorrow for the Niners. Yeah, I don't know. Have you put that behind you yet? I mean, I know you still got the crown every once in a while.
I hate it. You know, it started because, how did it start? People think I gave myself the nickname. I would never give myself a nickname. That's
the one thing you can't do in life is give yourself nicknames.
And that's just too arrogant. And I have too much respect for the people who paved the way for me. The people that's come before us in the sports talk radio genre, Gary Ratnitch, Ralph Barbieri, Tom Tobert, the list goes on and on and on. Somebody said something. I was like, well, damn it, since I'm the king around here, then won't you do something? And then, you know, people see me on the street like, hey, King, it's the weirdest thing ever, Evan. They're like, what's up, King? Hey, King. Everyone's straight face. I'm like, man, I can't shake this.
Well, if the Niners win tomorrow, they deserve to be kings. They deserve to be crowned.
Well played.
Yeah, they will have that one seed, no doubt about it. And that's the other thing, too. It's like, that's why this game, to me, this is what sports is all about. I know they got bigger games ahead. The playoffs are really where it's going to matter. But this is the first time where, and maybe last week, too, because it was Chicago, Sunday Night Football, whole nation. But I do feel like it's taken, and myself included, it's taken a lot of people who have watched this team to really finally allow themselves to just fully jump in. Like, we're all in with this team. And we can talk about why more on the other side, because I feel like that this game, it's all come down to this.
Yep.
You play 6 months. You go through injuries. You go through ups and downs and backups and everything that it takes to get to this point. On the heels of the season that was it last year, it's like the Niners deserve to be in this spot.
Ev, real quick, it's just been such a roller coaster ride, the way you put that. I'm just looking at the schedule, thinking about all the twists and turns and the Mac Jones conversation and whether or not Shanahan should stick with Mac Jones, the whole ride the hot hand. What's going on with Purdy? What's going on with Kittle? Oh, the defense has fallen apart. And you look at the schedule and the way things worked out, losing to the Rams, and all of a sudden you're 5-3, you're saying, after the Houston game, you're saying, damn, is this it? Are they about to fade? And now they're sitting here 13-4 with his 6 straight games. They won a game on Monday Night Football with the quarterback throwing 3 picks in the first half.
On 3 straight possessions.
Right.
That was like, that was one of the craziest things, no doubt. And they got a chance to do something even more wild. Obviously 24 hours from now. All right, in about 15 minutes, we got Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, coming on, and that's what's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. I do want to clean up these calls on the Niners. Yep. We'll review it. We'll come back to it, obviously. We got Softy Mahler from Seattle coming on at 1 o'clock to talk his mess about the Seahawks. Bonte Hill and he obviously go way back, so looking forward to that conversation as well. Jonathan, Mitch, hang on. We'll get to your calls on the other side. Evan Giddings and Bonte Hill in for Steiny and Guru. That segment was sponsored by Kalshi. Trade on anything.
Happy Friday, fellas.
Yeah.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, I know Steiny's happy. He's not working today. He's in a great mood.
I didn't think Pasta had this in his arsenal. What are these beats he's coming back with? I'm ready to run through a wall right now. Damn it.
Lord Pretty Flacco Jody. Pasta. Yeah, what do you know about ASAP?
Come on. I didn't think Pasta had this in his repertoire.
Hey, no doubt me. Don't doubt me.
Pasta,
calm down over there.
Pasta's the kind of guy. We're talking about Steven Rizzotto. A lot of Gators in the house today. It's
Gators.
Bonte Hill.
The real swamp.
Evan Giddings. Pasta's the kind of guy that under promises and over delivers.
You know what?
And I respect that.
Yeah, I see that. He does. Then he gets a little arrogant sometimes. He said some things to me this morning. I was like, what? What's gotten into you?
I was going to say, you kind of like the Niners this year. You know, not setting us up to expect much. Delivering a 12-win season, maybe 13, maybe getting the one seed. And then by the end of it, just wondering, like, is he top dog? Is he top dog? I don't know.
Just watch.
More to come.
Some of that Reardon stuff gets to be a little bit. Shout out Reardon High School.
That's right. Yeah. So this is a thing. Yeah, I'm from the East Bay. I went to St. Mary's. We catch up every once in a while and talk high schools. But I feel like high school in the city, that's kind of a big reflection of who you are.
Yeah.
One of the first few questions, where'd you go to high school? And you were up in the
Washington.
Washington.
Yeah. Wash House, baby. Went to Turkey Day this year. Good bounce back for my boys up there. Got blown out in Turkey Day. Made it competitive in the second half, but the Shannons, Javon, Bill, one of my brother, Jamikio, Big Dog City, Coaches JVs, Jamal Gilliard, Craig, the whole crew, they brought that program back. But yeah, the city is a small community. And at Washington, we would always go to the Bruce Mahoney game, SI, Sacred Heart. We would go to Reardon and Sacred Heart. We would party with those guys. So yeah, it's a small, it's a big deal out here.
I've gotten a little taste of it. I called a couple of the WAL games. So like this year I did a Sarah St. Francis game. There's some players, man.
Oh, yeah.
There's a couple of players out here.
One of the best leagues in the country, in the state.
Yeah, no, they got some squads. I think Reardon took it this year.
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Reardon was really good. They played Folsom and Ryder Jones, a quarterback who's going to BYU. And I think the backup at Folsom is better than Ryder Jones because Ryder Jones got knocked out by Larry Grant's son, former linebacker of the 49ers. He's now coaching that city. His son plays for Reardon, and he knocked out Ryder Jones. I'm watching a game on the big screen. And then the backup came in from Folsom and was slinging it. It was like, who is this kid?
And Reardon's quarterback, Mike Mitchell Jr., was committed to Vanderbilt and then withdrew his commitment and then now is going to Stanford.
Blaine Pavia.
I was going to say, he was trying to put down the Big Ten. Not this year.
Not this year.
Not this year. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. We do have Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, coming up in a little less than 10 minutes, so we're going to take calls. Until then, talking Niners, talking Seahawks, talking the battle for the one seed tomorrow at Levi's Stadium. We'll get to the Warriors, come back to the Niners. Yeah, we'll do whatever the people want here on a Feel Good Friday. That's Bonte Hill. My name is Evan Giddings, and Steiny and Goo going to be back next week. Let's start with Jonathan, who's in the city. Jonathan, what's going on, man? Good morning. Happy Friday.
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy New Year. And, you know, I just want to say just being in this position is a remarkable feat for Kyle Shanahan and his coaching staff. They deserve the Coach of the Year Award, Coaching Staff Year of the Year of Award. You know, I don't have a lot of confidence with this squad, but I do have a lot of faith. And why I say that, because heading into games, I don't know. I just don't know how they're going to win games, unlike in the past, where they have a top-five defense, that awesome running game, and that vaunted offense. You can kind of tell how they're going to win games. This year, you just can't tell how they're going to win games, but they've been able to win games. And I just, it just gives me that faith that this squad, they just know how to win. Maybe a special team here and there play that contributes to the offense having to work with a shorter field, or a defense who's, you know, maybe they've been leaky the entirety of the game, but somehow, some way, in the fourth quarter, they make a play or two to seal the win. And, also what gives me a lot of faith is that I've seen Cal with this quarterback go on a winning streak. And that must-win game started for me last week. And it gives me a lot of faith that Brock kind of gave me a tap on the shoulder with that, you know, that two, right. Five touchdown games that he had the past two games. That, hey, Jonathan, I'm not like Jimmy, bro. It's the
nah,
first
come on, Jonathan.
Way better than Jimmy.
Hey, Jonathan, thanks for the call, man. Happy New Year. The way the Niners are going to have to win is it's going to be led by their offense, Evan. That's going to have to be their best defense. When you score, you put pressure on an opposing offense to try to keep up with you. And then one little slip up here and there, you gain an extra possession, you put more points on the board, and then you win going away. So to me, that's the formula for this team moving forward.
Yeah, I think that they have, look, they've always been, you know, a team that can put up points. But the 2019 team, that defense was nasty. The 22 squad had a good defense. 23 may have been a little leaky, but they had dudes. They had Warner. They had Bosa. You trade for Chase Young. That's another part about the season, too, which I hadn't really thought of a whole lot until now. This team didn't really make any trades.
No.
You know, they got Keon White for a sixth, but that's not a big boy.
Cleveland Farrell off the street, signed him.
Yeah, exactly. And he comes in and he's making plays. And right. It's like, so this is a season that I think was completely unexpected. The Niners have always been a team I felt like that would cash in when they had the opportunity, when they felt like they got a shot. Not to say they didn't, but I still think that at around the deadline, there was a little wait and see from the front office, wait and see from Kyle Shanahan. And while they might be a player away or two, all the guys that have had to step in and fill in, they've done the job.
No doubt about that. I want to get to the calls before we get to Kerr, though. Evan, let me hear from the faithful. Because it's been a little quiet around here. It's a big game tomorrow.
It is.
Where the faithful at?
And who else to go to but Philmo, Mike?
Oh.
Philmo's on the line right now.
Oh, we got
Philmo? Yeah, Philmo, get your boy over here. What's going on?
What you mean was it's a good look. Happy New Year. But somebody called in earlier talking about the top quarterbacks of the Niners. I don't care about the top quarterbacks in Niner history. Don't get me wrong, I do. Brock Purdy is playing like the best quarterback. I'll say it. He's playing like the best quarterback in the NFL.
There you go.
Everybody tiptoeing. He's playing like the best quarterback in the NFL. Kyle Shanahan is coaching like one of the best coaches we've ever seen. So I'm not finna. I don't care about the history of the 49ers. Everybody know we got great quarterbacks going back to Y.A. Tittle and John Brody. But the here and now, Brock Purdy, who's playing better than Brock Purdy?
Nobody.
Who?
Nobody. Nobody.
And
say what you chest, Philmo.
Darnold is coming in on I ain't going to be long-winded like Jonathan. Darnold's coming in. He's had playing well. Shout out to Jonathan. Good to hear you back on the airways, Bonta. You guys have a great chemistry. I like you. I need to do like a Saturday show or something, man.
Hey, you never know what the future holds.
That's true.
Never know what the future holds. There it is.
Oh, we lost Philmo. Philmo, you're the man. Appreciate you calling in. Happy New Year to you.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, he's right about Purdy. All right, I want to keep running through these calls until we get up to Steve Kerr, a couple minutes away from talking to the head coach of the Warriors. Nick is in Berkeley.
Oh.
Nick, what's up, baby? What's going on? How you feeling?
Man, I'm feeling so fired up right now, man. I want to be tailgating right now with Levi. Check this out, man. We're about to expose Sam Darnold for what he is. He's not a big-game quarterback. He's going to fold up chance. Well, our defense, Mustafa, and my boy Winters, they're off the chain. We're about to make it happen, man. Our defense comes up with big plays. The two biggest ups to your 5 points. What's up to all of our fellow SS State Gators out there, first of all. But I think that the two biggest offseason signings that we've had in a couple of years have been Salah and my boy Mac Jones. So let's make it happen, y'all. We got to be loud and make it, bring the house down on Seattle. We have a lot of games. We had frustrating games against them, and we're going to let them have it and then exercise some of these old demons that we have in Shanahan. Stay in the zone, Shanahan. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't overthink it, man. Keep rolling. Let's go. Let's go.
Love it, Nick. Well, if he gets down there, they might open the gates for you a day early if you want to just get in the parking lot and start firing it up.
You ever meet Nick at Berkeley?
I have not.
Man. He came to the Doobie Awards last year. The first and I think only Doobie Awards. Nick at Berkeley.
2026.
Maybe they'll bring it back. Maybe they'll bring it back. But Nick at Berkeley, he's serious. He's probably on his way to Santa Clara right now and getting ready to tailgate a day or two early before the Seattle game, 24 hours away from Seattle Niners. Nick and Berkeley's like that.
I can't blame him. All right, Tyler. Tyler's in Hayward. We're going to get you in before Steve Kerr comes on. Tyler, what's up, man? What do you got?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Happy New Year. I got my boy Bonte.
Tyler's back. Tyler, we got the hard hitters, Evan. We got the heavyweight hitters.
They show up.
Man, y'all got the dynamic duo out. My favorite Sports Bay Area media analyst, Bonte and Evan Giddens. Y'all need to go ahead and make it a show. Shout out to Nahegan. real quick, Philmo Mike was tripping about, I guess, Brock Purdy being the best quarterback in the league. But how do you feel about, and me and my brother were talking about this the other day, Brock Purdy is more like a Troy Aikman-esque for the 49ers. Not the best quarterback, but probably the best with the system, with the players around it. What do you say?
Hey, Troy Aikman walked into Canton, Ohio with a gold jacket as a Hall of Famer.
Yes,
Brock Purdy becomes Troy Aikman. Who wouldn't take that? And Troy Aikman's underrated, Evan. Troy Aikman in big games, like Brock Purdy. I had fear of Troy Aikman in those big games against the Dallas Cowboys growing up. Troy Aikman was like that.
I mean, obviously different eras, but you know, from what I've seen and studied, that dude put the ball where it needed to be. Yeah, whether it was in the hands of Emmitt Smith, the hands of Michael Irvin, that dude put the ball on time where it needed to go. Yep. And that's what Brock Purdy does. And I think that, you know, whenever, like, especially like watching the last documentary about the Cowboys, you see what kind of leader Troy Aikman is.
Yep.
He's a far more vocal leader than Brock Purdy is, but Brock Purdy just got that calmness about him.
You know what though, Evan? Was it George Kittle? I forget who it was, but when Brock Purdy first entered that 49ers huddle, I think it was George Kittle who said, Brock Purdy checked everybody saying, hey, let's go, focus. So he has commanded that huddle. He may not be as boisterous, but think about Stephen Curry, right? Stephen Curry, everybody says, oh, he's not as abrasive, he's not outspoken, but he's the leader of the Golden State Warriors, and he leads in a way that think of Tim Duncan. Was Tim Duncan a leader, Evan?
Absolutely.
He led those Spurs. So think of Brock Purdy in that light when it comes to leadership. Stephen Curry, Tim Duncan, those quiet, but hey, look, we're going to show you with our actions, not with our words.
Well, speaking of people who can command a huddle, it's time to talk to the head coach.
Was it coach?
Of the Golden State Warriors. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, in Lathrop? Evan Giddings, Bonte Hill in for Steiny and Guru, and Steve Kerr now joins us. Coach, thank you so much for coming on and making time for us on a game day, by the way.
Happy New Year, Coach.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year to you guys, too, and thanks for having me.
Well, so when the ball drops at midnight, like, are you guys in the air? You're coming back from Charlotte. Did you have a chance to stick in Charlotte in the Queen City and enjoy it a little bit? How do you spend the New Year's in the middle of a season?
Well, first of all, we flew home right after the game because it was a 1 o'clock game, which was awesome. So we got home, I think, about 8 o'clock, and I went to my daughter's house. She was having family and friends over. She cooked a great meal, and I was there for a couple hours and asleep in my bed about 10 o'clock.
Steve, when's the last time you made it to midnight on New Year's Eve? Because I know me, I'm knocked out by like 9:30. Now, I did watch Stranger Things. I watched the finale of Stranger Things and fell asleep to that and rewatched it in the morning. So when's the last time you made it to midnight?
Probably 1994. It's been a while. It has been a while, let me tell you.
Well, Coach, you know, I don't know if you caught the tail end of that last conversation, but it has me thinking about the way that players command huddles. And I know it's not apples to apples with football and basketball, but you've been in huddles with leaders, and especially someone like Tim Duncan. As the leader of that basketball team, and even at that age that he was, what was he someone that commanded it with his words, with his actions? I mean, what's it like being in a huddle with that kind of leader?
Well, I think it's the most powerful form of leadership, you know, where it's unspoken. And it's the same thing with Steph, you know, and Steph and Tim remind me so much of each other in that regard. They don't have to say a whole lot. It's like a great parent, you know, it's like there's just respect and lots of love and, you know, collaboration and, you know, but if, you know, if Timmy or Steph want to put the hammer down, you know, then the hammer is that much more effective because it rarely has to come out, you know. And so I love that style of leadership. You know, Steph personifies it. Tim Duncan, as you said, it's very powerful.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Steve, you know, we're looking at this team right now. You guys have won 5 of 6. Obviously, the one loss, you kind of gave that one away in the second half to Toronto, especially in that fourth quarter with the 7 turnovers. But now you've had your starting lineup here for the last 7 games. And I know everybody makes a big deal about the starters because I'll see you sub out somebody 4 minutes into the game. And it's like, well, so much for that because of your rotations or whatnot. But it feels like maybe you're starting to gain some consistency with the way you sub in and out with this lineup here. Do you feel like you guys are starting to maybe turn a corner ahead of this critical stretch where 10 of the next 11 are at Chase Center?
I do. You know, we've scored at a high clip here the last 6 games, I think averaging over 120 points a game. And that's really been the number one issue this season has been our offense. Our defense has been pretty solid. I think we're 3rd in the league in defensive efficiency, but about 19th on offense. And that's kind of been a combination of turnovers and, you know, searching for lineups, that sort of thing. But feels like we have some consistency. We're playing better. It was a shame to lose that Toronto game, but all in all, I think we're heading in the right direction.
Steve Kerr joining us here on 95.7 The Game. The Steve Kerr Show is presented by Great Clips. In sports, success is about team effort. And the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Giddings and Bonte and Verstein and Guru. Coach, I know you play tonight against the Oklahoma City Thunder. A couple of players questionable for this game. Curry, we know Draymond is going to be out. Jimmy just popped up on the injury report. Can you give us any insight as to who might be available for tonight?
Yeah, I'm in the office now, and Jimmy called in about an hour ago. He's not feeling well, so he's doubtful for tonight. And Draymond is definitely out, and Steph is definitely out. So we're going to be shorthanded for sure. And you know, it's the time of year where it's kind of a little bit of schedule bogging us down with the age of our guys getting banged up, and it's okay. We got a lot of young guys ready to go. I think we played OKC without Steph about a month ago and gave them all they could handle. We're going to need the same effort tonight to stay with these guys. They're awfully good.
Yeah, you guys had a great third quarter in that game back at Chase, and it really took them down to the wire. Really fun game there. Is there anything you could learn about your team? You know, shorthanded, right? And you're going to try your best to get a win against one of the toughest teams in the league, the defending champion, Oklahoma City Thunder. But guys like Potts, who has played better, he's had a solid month of December, efficiency-wise, not turning the ball over as much as he did the first month of the season. Pat Spencer's probably going to see a lot of minutes. What can you gain from your team in a game like this, knowing that you don't have your big dogs available?
I think you get a chance to look at some other guys, and for more extended minutes, you get to look at some different combinations. Honestly, I look at every game as an opportunity for our players to show what they can do. I mean, that's what the league is about. It's so competitive. There's so many great players. You know, everybody's got talent. And so when you've got 15, 17 players like we do, if you include the two-ways, guys have to take advantage of their moments, you know, when they come. Every game affects the next one, both individually and as a team. So I want to see us continue to move the ball like we have, to take care of it, and to defend at a high level, and give ourselves a chance tonight.
We're speaking with Steve Kerr, head coach of the Golden State Warriors, here on 95.7 The Game. And on the heels of that, coach, is it safe to assume that some of the guys who have been out of the rotation, Jonathan Kuminga was a DNP CD last game, so was Buddy Hield. I know Seth Curry has been sometimes unavailable due to the injuries, but is it safe to say we're going to see a few of those guys tonight who typically haven't been in the rotation as of late?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Yeah, and I love that. I hate when guys are on the bench, for too long of a time. And, you know, I kind of learned this from Phil Jackson when I played in Chicago, but you know, you really lean into everybody at different times of the year, and guys need to be reminded that every single player is important. You know, I don't want to let anybody, you know, fester on the bench. I want everybody to be ready at all times. And you know, nights like this, you definitely lean in to the depth of the roster and give people a chance.
Coach, you know, as fans and media members, we always say, hey, the Warriors need to do this over the next 11 games. They need to go 8-3 or 9-2 to have a chance or whatnot. And I know you guys went 23-8 once Jimmy arrived last season. But take us behind the curtain here as you're meeting with your coaches and you're meeting with your players, and you know that 10 of the next 11 are in the state of – actually, all 11 are in the state of California. The one lone road game is down in L.A. against the Clippers. Do you guys set a goal for a record? Well, how do you guys approach this situation here over the next 11? Do you just take it game by game, or is there a record that you're looking at saying, hey, if we do this, we can be this in the Western Conference standings?
Yeah, we don't say anything about our record to the team in terms of what our goal is over those 11 games. We just are focused on the process of how we've been playing and what we need to do. And we're well aware that this is when the schedule flips in our direction. It was really, really tough early on with all those road games. So many games, you know, to fit in the NBA Cup. You know, we were just playing constantly, and tons of road trips. We had a two-game East Coast trip, and then back on the road. I mean, it was insane. And so The one good thing about that was that we knew the schedule would turn, and now is the time when that's happening. So we're all aware of that, and it doesn't matter if we don't take advantage of it. So that's the whole focus is let's use this time to get better, to develop more consistency, to continue the momentum that we have from the last couple of weeks, and hopefully get on a roll.
How difficult is it, Coach, to kind of look at your team? And over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of different starting lineups, a lot of different lineup combinations. I know, you know, most coaches, you want your starting five, and that's what you want, which is why we've seen the same five to start the game over the last seven. How difficult is it to go through so many different starting lineups, so many different substitution patterns to where you can't find a rhythm with your sub patterns? Players can't find a rhythm when they know, you know, hey, am I playing at the 6-minute mark of the first quarter or the 8-minute mark? Or am I coming in the second quarter? How difficult has that been over the last couple of years?
Well, it was difficult last year until we got Jimmy, and then, you know, then all of a sudden everything made sense. And my experience, both as a player and as a coach, is if you're a good team, then you don't have that problem. You quickly settle into roles. Everybody gets comfortable in their rotation pattern, and as a coach, you stay with that and you win games, and everyone's happy. But when you're, 500 or below, as a coach, you're searching, and that means as a player, you're going to be subject to different rotation patterns, maybe starting, maybe not, because the team is trying to figure out how to win. And I've always felt, I was a role player my whole career. I always felt it was really easy to be on a role player on a good team, and it was impossible to be a role player on a bad team. And it's just the way it is. So it's on all of us to try to develop that consistency like we did a year ago after we got Jimmy. And, hopefully now that we're pretty healthy tonight, notwithstanding, we can continue the consistent rotation patterns and keep winning.
Well, and you guys have been doing that at five of your last six, really have been playing the best stretch of basketball since the start of the season. Is that how you feel, that you feel like right now you guys are beginning to figure this out? And I realize the schedule might have a bit to do with that, but 5 of 6, I mean, the only game you lost was one that you probably could have had against Toronto. Do you feel like the team is beginning to sense that with these roles and the kind of cohesiveness that you're building, that you guys are looking to play your best basketball right at the beginning of 2026?
Yeah, for sure. We've talked about it, the last couple of weeks, and we've been consistent with that starting lineup the last seven games, and guys are starting to feel a sense of momentum. The Toronto game was tough. We really had that and didn't close it, but all in all, we're playing at a pretty consistent level, and we got to keep it going.
Knowing that Jimmy's going to be doubtful and Steph and Dre are out, is there a chance we see Kuminga tonight crack the lineup or the rotation? I know it's tough that he's been sitting a lot and hasn't been playing a lot over the last couple of weeks, but is there a chance we see Kuminga tonight?
For sure. Yeah, he'll be out there.
Well, Coach, on a different note, the trade deadline being a couple of weeks away, I know that earlier this year you sort of talked about the answers for this team being on this roster as opposed to last year. You felt like that you had to make a move. Does this recent stretch of positive basketball confirm that for you? Or have you had different thoughts in recent weeks? What are you feeling like right now, roughly 2 weeks away from also, I mean, you're in the middle of the deadline, but 2 weeks away from when someone like Kuminga would be eligible to be moved?
I think it's totally different from last year, honestly, because a year ago we were 500 or even below 500 at the break, but we could tell we were not good enough. This year, I think we're good enough. I just think we've lost several close games that we should have closed out. That had we won those, I think we'd all be feeling pretty decent right now about our playoff positioning and all that stuff. But to me, the bottom line is we have Jimmy Butler now. A year ago, we did not. And Jimmy's one of the best players in the league. Obviously, so is Steph. So having both of those guys and having the continuity from last year, and now that we have Melton back, getting into the groove, I feel really good about where our roster is, and I don't think we have to do anything necessarily. But I know that Mike is always going to try to improve the roster if he can.
And, Coach, you're doing a great job with these rotations. I feel like, especially separating, not to say that they can't play with each other, Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler, but Jimmy really leading that second unit over the last couple of weeks. You're subbing out Jimmy early. Obviously, Draymond and Steph have that great chemistry together. And now, obviously, they're going to close games together. They're going to start games together. They're going to start the halves together. But Jimmy really leading that second unit, leading to some opportunities for Guy Santos, De'Anthony Melton. What led you to that kind of tweak within your lineup here?
Well, we, you know, the, before the this current rotation over the last seven games, we had a lot of absences, a lot of injuries. We just couldn't quite find groups that that clicked. We ultimately decided we wanted to bring Steph back into the top of the second quarter, so we changed his rotation pattern. And ultimately, that we want to keep either Steph or Jimmy on the floor at all times. And Jimmy seems to be at his best when he's got four guys with him who he can kind of, you know, command and lead. Draymond is 100% at his best with Steph. So it just makes sense to keep Dre and Steph together and then have Jimmy on the floor at all times when those guys are off.
Steve Kerr joining us here on 95.7 The Game. And Coach, with that, I know last year Butler was airdropped in and you guys found very quickly success, especially over those last 31 games into the playoffs. But I'm curious, having a full off season, a build-up training camp, what have you learned about Jimmy Butler? Not just the player, but also the person, is it any different from the guy who was there last year? But having a chance to sort of build that relationship, what have you learned now this year about Jimmy Butler?
I don't know that I've learned anything more than I knew last year. You know, after we had him for a couple of months, it was obvious how good he was, how brilliant he is, just from a basketball IQ standpoint and a, you know, kind of a worldly experience that Jimmy has. You feel his intelligence right away when you speak with him. And I think the biggest difference between this year and last year was a 30-game sprint. You know, he had not been playing for Miami. We get him, and it's basically 30, 35 games or so, and then right into the playoffs. That's much easier for a veteran player to just play 30 games. The 82 is very difficult for everybody to navigate, but I think especially for veteran players who are playoff performers. So I think just the length of the season this year for Jimmy, for Dre, for Steph, you know, it definitely takes its toll. I think we're going to be at our best down the stretch, you know, when those guys can sense the finish line and get in gear for the playoffs. But the full 82 is not for the faint of heart, that's for sure, and not for the older guys either.
Yeah, no doubt. Must help that the next 11 are going to be in the state of California with one road game in L.A. Not a lot of flights here in the first half of January. But, Steve, just randomly looking at the Charlotte game and what happened the night before, Steph Curry gets an interchange named after him. Which is pretty wild, and I hope people don't stop by the interchange sign and try to steal it or take selfies. We got to have the traffic flow left and right, right? You ever get a name? You got a street named after you? Is that one day maybe in the Bay Area? Hey, Steve Kerr Way. Have you ever thought about something like that?
Yeah, I don't see that happening. I know that the Delta Center, the old Delta Center in Salt Lake. I forget what it's called now, but it's at the corner of Stockton and Malone, which is pretty cool. Mm. I don't see a Kerr Avenue anytime soon. That's for sure.
Not somewhere in Tucson.
Yeah, I guess if it were to be anywhere, it would be Tucson. But nobody's called me on that one either.
I mean, we got a urinal named after your buddy Tom Tober, and we can't get something inside of Chase Center. I mean, blame Raymond Ritter or something, man. What's going on, Steve?
I got to talk to Raymond. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Well, hey, Coach, we really appreciate your time. We know you're busy, man, especially on a game day. They got OKC coming up later tonight.
It's a back-to-back. Like, Steve, are you guys just going to spend a night at Chase Center and just run it back? I mean, you got caught there in the office?
I'll get home for a little bit. And then we take off for L.A. the next day. Yeah, we're in the midst of 5-7, and these are never easy. Hopefully Steph will recover from the ankle tweak that he has and be ready to play tomorrow, and we'll see about Jimmy. But, yeah, this tough little stretch, but we're finding some momentum. We got to just keep it rolling.
Well, again, we appreciate your time. We're looking forward to seeing how you guys can build on this momentum, and good luck tonight. Thank you so much for joining us,
Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
My pleasure. Happy New Year to you guys and everybody out there.
Appreciate it. Happy New Year to you, too. That's Steve Kerr, as always, presented by Great Clips. Presented by Great Clips in sports, success is about team effort, and the same is true for your hair. Great Clips, it's going to be great. Also, a reminder, again, OKC tonight, Utah tomorrow. 10 of the next 11 are at home for Golden State, so plenty of opportunities to get out to Chase Center. Get to Warriors.com right now if you want a chance to catch the Warriors. Again, a lot coming up at home. And it sounds like potentially things sort of coming into focus. Obviously, no Curry, Butler, Draymond tonight. But it sounds like, B, his response to your question, that rotation is clarifying for Golden State.
It's clarifying. And tonight, we're actually going to see J.K. for a little bit.
Yes,
and
we
depending
are.
Depending on, I know a lot of fans, he's been polarizing around here. Lord knows how many phone calls you guys have taken about Jonathan Kuminga, how many podcasts I've done about Jonathan Kuminga. He will play tonight. He will play tonight because Jimmy's out. He's doubtful. Steph and Draymond are out. And you heard it here in 95-7 game. So that's straight from the head coach's mouth. And they're going to have to beat Oklahoma shorthanded. A lot of guys will get some run, though. We're going to see a lot more Brandon Podziemski. And I know Podziemski is another guy, Evan, who's been polarizing around here. You see his numbers in December?
Yes, I have.
Not bad, right?
I mean, he's basically 50-40 from the floor and from three.
There you go. Not turning the ball over as much. So he's playing his best basketball with the team this season. Pat Spencer will probably see him. You'll see a lot of Guy Santos, who's, man, he had a monster first half against Charlotte, which really stabilized that basketball game, going 4-for-4 from the floor and 3-for-3 from three. So, look, tonight's going to be a mass unit of sorts against the defending champions, but Steve does feel like you said, that his rotation now is coming into focus here. Now he has his starting lineup. He has his rotation patterns. We're seeing Jimmy lead that second unit. And now we're going to see what the Warriors are about over the next 11.
Yeah, and I realize it's thrown off tonight, obviously, because you're missing the big three. But to your point, and you brought it up during the interview, you played OKC pretty well without a couple of those big boys last time you saw him. Nearly stole one down the stretch. You know, I think, too, it's like, well, let me ask you this. Do you think J.K. starts tonight?
Ooh.
I actually think that he does. I actually think that he does.
Thought about asking Coach, but
well, that was one thing I was like, well, you want to just go straight there? And
is JK going to be in rotation? Yeah, what did Coach
say? He said he'll be out there.
He'll be out there. I was like, all right, I'm just leaving it at that. Let's see, post. What if you go? Now I believe Hartenstein. I haven't checked out the injury report, but
Hartenstein is out.
He's out. So if he was in, I would think about going TJD and post.
Mm-hmm.
But Hartenstein's out.
That's one thing about QP that I realize he plays the five because Draymond's out there and he's good for spacing and he can hang with those with some of those centers. But I'm curious to see if and when they try and sort of use him as a four, because there's a lot of teams in the West. I'm looking at Houston, I'm looking at Denver, I'm looking at OKC when they're healthy. They can play double big, and that's really an option that the Warriors have been reluctant to feature. And on a night like tonight, you're not expected to win the game anyways. Kerr might just start throwing stuff at a wall.
Yeah, I mean, Pods, Melton, D'Anthony Melton may start. Now, will Melton play during his back-to-back? You got Utah tomorrow, and Keontae George is one of the best young point guards in this league. So you're going to need Melton for him at the point of attack, of course.
With Curry, Dre, and Butler being out, I would also expect Horford probably not to play the front end, but we'll see.
Well, we'll see. You're going to... Boy, if you don't play Horford tonight, who knows who's going to start, right? Kuminga may start. He may get 30 minutes tonight, 40 minutes against OKC. Say, hey, go out there. Just play. Don't think, just play. Against a team that's athletic, which is why sometimes I'm scratching my head about the whole Kuminga situation, because you play a team like Toronto, right? long, athletic, full of athletes. R.J. Barrett. Scotty Barnes, of course, who grabbed 25 rebounds in that game.
Dude,
I mean, it was just insane.
It's Chamberlain out there, man.
As Mully says, the notorious BI3. Brandon Ingram.
You see that shot he hit the other night, by the way, against Denver?
I did see that.
Full court, off one leg, bank.
Wow, the injury report just came out here. And cousin Nick Friedell, shout out to Nick Friedell. He's always listening, man. Get a life, Nick. Go write a story or something.
Dude, that guy writes so many stories, it's hard to keep track.
I love Nick.
Nick, don't have to put out two pieces a day, okay? It's all right, man. We know you're working hard.
Hey, no, he's got to, man. He's back in the game, baby.
Friedell.
Nick had a few years off, man. He's back in the game.
No, he's hungry. I love Nick.
But the injury report did just come out, as he just noted, and Melton is out tonight. Mm. So no D'Anthony Melton.
Damn.
And I'm looking at it right now. So no Jimmy Butler.
Horford might have to play.
Draymond Green out. Stephen Curry out. Al Horford probable, TJD available, and Melton out.
All right, well, against the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are only going to be missing Isaiah Hartenstein. We're going to see SGA, J-Dub, all the boys out there. Chet, it's going to be an uphill battle for Golden State. But, you know, I mean, this is something, too, we didn't get to it with Kerr, and I know we got to hit a break here. And we'll get back to the Warriors, and we obviously got a big game coming up tomorrow for the Niners. But, you know, the Thunder... 5-4 in their last 9. Now, they're not playing the Spurs tonight, so they got a pretty good shot. That's the only team they've lost to more than once. But OKC is not the team that right now is on pace to break the Warriors' 2016 regular season wins record. All right, I see your calls. I want to get to you on the other side as well. 888-957-9570. We could stick with some Warriors here. Or if you want to get into the Niners, feel free. But we're going to talk some Dubs on the other side.
Yeah,
all right?
Dub Nation, yeah. You guys feel like they're turning the corner here? 5-6 they've won. Couple games over 500, but this is the stretch to me, Evan, to where they can really separate themselves and start to gain some real traction here. 10 of the next 11 at Chase Center.
No doubt. Bonte Hill, Evan Giddings in for Steiny Guru. That segment was sponsored by the Bayview Restaurant at the Inn at the Tides. Experience coastal elegance at the Inn at the Tides Winemaker Dinner Series. January 23rd with J. Gregory Sellers, February 20th with DRNK Wines, and March 20th with Aperture Sellers. Limited seating. Reserve now at InAtTheTides.com. Tune in for Warriors Live today as well. Presented by Xfinity, your home court advantage. Brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that.